Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is your home of live college football coverage in Atlanta. This Saturday at 8 a.m., we get the day started with college football game time, brought to you by Window Nation. Visit windownation.com and Alumni Hall. Shop UGA, Bama, Tennessee, and more. It's where the fans shop. John Fricke, Chris Goforth, Abe Gordon, and Garrett Chapman will get you set for the stage of all the big matchups. Then at 11:30 a.m., it's a doubleheader. We have Clemson at North Carolina, followed by Texas at Florida. That's all this Saturday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle with you until 10 o'clock. Let's have a college football conversation, shall we, on the WadeFord.com hotline with our good buddy Ian Valentino of A to Z Sports. Ian, let's start here in Atlanta and Athens. What level, if any, of concern do you have about UGA after their loss to Bama?
You know, it's an unexpected loss, but I don't think it's, you know, a level 10 type of worry. I think this is, it's a concern, but you're probably afforded two losses in the SEC this year before you really have to, you know, it's kind of like do or die at that point. Like, I don't know that you can get in with three losses. Maybe we'll see how it shakes out the rest of the season. But, you know, I think Oklahoma, Texas, you know, teams like that, even LSU, we saw them lose. I think each of these teams has some sort of flaw. And I think Georgia was part of that too. Like, it's a good team, but I think we knew that it wasn't going to be a perfect team. So it's disappointing to lose because it's a rivalry, and especially with Kirby Smart struggles, I think, against Alabama, that might be a bigger picture, slight concern. But at the same time, too, this is a team that can recover. You're looking at a quarterback who can get better, a defense that is probably capable of being even sharper than what we saw. So it's a tough rivalry loss, but that's exactly what it could only be. It could only be a rivalry loss and not a sign of bigger things that they need to be concerned about.
So what do you make of Alabama now between the way they started and the way they're playing now? This team is a bit of a head scratcher.
Yeah, I think while it's easy to kind of say for Georgia, hey, that doesn't have to be a referendum of their entire team and season, Alabama just might have reinvented themselves a little bit. The passing game has been a lot better. Ty Simpson looks really good, making great decisions. Obviously, the numbers kind of speak for themselves, but he does look more comfortable. He looks like he's fitting in. Obviously, getting Ryan Williams back is a huge part of that. They have a little bit more playmaking. The run game is a big concern. Like, they just cannot run the ball well. So I'm still a little bit worried about that when it matters most. It reminds me of that Washington team that Kalen DeBauer reached the national championship with. It's kind of funny how he's almost modeled it exactly like that team. But this is a good team, and credit to them. I didn't really see that gear for them entering the season, and they've very quickly found it and put things together and abandoned what doesn't work and really embrace what does work for them. And so they're on pace for probably, you know, to be right in the mix of the college football playoff. And I just don't think, personally, I just didn't have that in my cards.
Speaking of that, what do you make of what Ole Miss has done?
Well, that's going to be probably the most fascinating thing to watch for the next couple of weeks. I mean, to do what they're doing to beat LSU, which, yeah, they've got their own offensive issues, injury issues, certainly. But, you know, to do this with a backup quarterback, to beat a team that looked like maybe the second, third best team in the country, to do it the way that they did it, too. I mean, it wasn't just, hey, we're going to slow down your offense. No, they handled them like that. That wasn't as close to the final score. So Lane Kiffin, all of a sudden, he replaces half of his best defensive players from last year, and they might be the most well-rounded team in the SEC. So it's a loaded conference this year, and I don't think in a way that, you know, some expected, most expected. Like, we thought Texas was going to be the powerhouse. Well, that turns out to be maybe they're the third or fourth best team in the conference. So you're seeing really young players get into big roles early and adjust within the first couple of the games of the season and play really well. And so that's, it's got us kind of looking at these standings upside down from where they thought they'd be.
Speaking of that, Vandy, can they actually, I mean, if you look at their schedule, it is absolutely brutal, but can they compete against the big dogs?
Yeah, I think on a game by game basis, sure. Like, they're going to have a chance this week. As much as I'm talking about Alabama, I don't think Alabama is some, like, you know, guarantee to win this week. And they're going to have to fight for this. Vandy is very well rounded. Really good defense, one of the better defenses in the country. They play great as a unit. Obviously, as long as they have Diego Pavia on offense, their passing game is going to be explosive. They're going to be a threat to run the ball. They're not in a tremendously good running game, but that doesn't mean that they can't make it happen a little bit better than when they need to than Alabama does. So, yeah, I don't think if you look at like the whole season, I think it's just too much, right? It's like Florida. Florida's schedule from the start was just too daunting. They never had a chance. Vandy, they can at least maybe split those big games, right? If you've got five, six top-ranked opponents on your schedule, can they win three of them and get a really good bowl game? Yeah, I think that is in their cards. It's just a matter of which games do they actually pull the wins out of and which ones do they fall short. And that just comes down to the margin of error.
Least surprising thing from the weekend, Penn State loses another big game.
Yeah, it's true. I don't know what James Franklin has to do. Maybe he needs to recuse himself as a head coach in these big games, but they've just got an identity issue in these games, and it's to the point where I don't know how you get over the hump. He's continued to struggle regardless of the roster, completely different roster, completely different coaching staff. There's just something about these games he's not prepping his team for in the right manner, building up to them. So whatever he's been doing, I think he might need to just completely switch it and maybe lean the other direction. If he's selling this as a big game to his guys, maybe underscore the game a little bit. If he's underscoring the game a little bit, maybe make this the biggest deal in the history of sports. I'm not really sure, but it's confounding. That team is too talented to continue to lose these games. And the program in general has been too talented over the years to lose every single time in almost the same type of manner. It's really, kind of talked about it with some of the SEC teams. It's like you expected Penn State to be the best team in the country, and there's not been a single moment where they've looked it this year.
Do you believe they made a mistake in bringing back Drew Aller?
Well, Bo Perbula's done pretty decently. I don't want to say that they made the mistake, but I do think that they probably needed to recognize that their staff and situation is not the right one to get the most out of him. They brought in three new receivers in the transfer portal. They obviously have the running back talent that they brought back. But everything's in place there for that team to be really good, for that offense to be great. Something that is there with Aller, if he has it in him to get better, clearly the staff is not the staff to get it out of him, or he just can't get better. That's the alternative. He might just need very high-level NFL-level coaching, maybe like Sean McVay, someone like that. But that's very specific, and you can't really do much about that if you're Penn State. So I think you welcome him back because you wanted to get that chance, and you probably don't bring everyone back from last year if Aller leaves too, so that's probably a package deal. But yeah, I think, he caps your ceiling and Bo Perbula might not have. So that's a tough choice. In retrospect, I don't think you could ever make that decision and justify it. But at the same time, it'll make you wonder, could they have had a higher ceiling with a guy that maybe was a little bit less proven, but has better physical traits?
Talking all things college ball with our buddy Ian Valentino, A to Z Sports. Check him out there. It is Chris Thomas tonight with you until 10 o'clock. How does Kurt Cignetti do it at Indiana? I mean, the guy is as grating as anything, but he gets the results, Ian.
Yeah, there's something there. There's, talking about it with Franklin, where there's just that spark. There's that ability to understand big games, the ability to get your guys up, get them, peak performance at the right time. Franklin struggled with that, but then someone like Cignetti, they have it. And he's got a little bit more of a background in team building where, as you look at someone like Kalen DeBauer, he generally takes over rosters and can do pretty well. He hasn't really proven that he can build a team. Whereas Cignetti, his ability to work the portal, get guys to buy in, maximize them, and that's pretty special. And whether he can do that to the level of winning a championship, I think is a different question. He's very clearly good enough and able to connect with kids in a way that most other coaches can't. And to be able to do this in his first couple of years there in a school that just hasn't had that success in a long time, and especially not consistently, it's really remarkable. And I'm fascinated to see how it plays out there, like whether he stays there long term or if he can get that Indiana group to a championship level and not just like a third or fourth in the Big Ten level.
Which Texas team are you more buying, A&M or Tech?
I think A&M, and I think the big part there is they, you hate to fall back on recruiting and things like that, but a lot of the guys that they get, a lot of the guys that they put in the NFL are athletes that are capable of being amazing. They just haven't had the coaching. Maybe it's the personalities that they've recruited in the past that weren't right to be able to maximize their abilities in college. Tech just doesn't quite have the history and the years of deep recruiting success. And I know the transfer portal has been great to them. They've done an amazing job. But I do think that there's an overall depth and talent difference there. Now, whether that shows up on Saturdays is a different thing consistently. But until we kind of see Tech take on one of those top tier teams, and it's going to be a little while before we see them really play anyone that really proves themselves, if at all, and before the playoff, I think A&M gets the nod just because I know that they can compete and beat teams like Notre Dame and compete with and beat teams at the top of the SEC, despite their issues in the past, kind of like Penn State. They're very much like Penn State of the South. So they have to prove themselves in those games, but beating Notre Dame was a big part of that.
Here locally, Georgia Tech gets a scare, but they pull it out. Last second victory versus Wake. Now they get a bye. Did that scare you at all, or is that just part of a college football season where you just get tested sometimes?
Yeah, you're going to get tested at some point. I mean, even the best teams like Ohio State, Oregon, those teams are going to get tested at some point. It's going to be a team that you don't expect. It's just how it works. You can't always be ready for teams, or you can, at least maybe tactically, and then you get out there and then you realize you're a bunch of 17, 18, 19-year-olds and some of these things just go strange and you don't really know. But they pulled it out, and I think that's one thing to bank on. Were there things to be concerned about? Sure, like you didn't play sharp. You can't have that continue too often. But the positive is that things didn't go well and you still recovered and you faced that adversity. And I do think, you know, you talk to coaching staffs, any coaching staff you ever talk to, it's like, yeah, we'd love to win every game 50-0. But if we don't, we can actually go back to the drawing board now and connect with guys a little bit easier to give them something to work on and actually try to improve on. And I think they're going to be able to take that tactic and hopefully kind of shore up some of those mistakes and just a little bit of sloppy play that we saw.
Before I let you go, I'm looking down at the latest top 25. BYU, they're sitting there at 4-0. We know that their schedule isn't monstrous by any stretch. Are they kind of sitting around there as a sleeper?
Yeah, I think so. They've had a great run. Again, you go back to coaching, another really well-coached team, and consistently getting the most out of guys. They run their system. They like how they do things, but they kind of keep it like an engine, and it doesn't really matter who they plugged in there. And so you like to see that, but they have a lot of talent. They do a good job of coming up to the big games. Yeah, I think this is definitely one of those teams that they're able to put a scare into anybody. Like, they have the ability to create big plays pretty easily. They have the defensive talent, I think, to at least be disruptive against most of the teams, maybe not the top two or three, four teams, but to get out of their conference and to sneak into the playoff at the back end and be a bit of a nightmare matchup depending on who they play. Yeah, I think so. Like, that's not one of those teams. I think I'd rather play last year's like Tennessee squad in the playoff than this year's BYU team. And some of that just comes down to toughness, knowing who you are and consistently playing to that level. That's a gritty team that can create explosive plays, and that's never fun.
Ian, appreciate the time as always. We'll chat soon.
Thanks so much.
All right, that is Ian Valentino there. Check him out at A2Z Sports College Football. All right, when we get back, it's our weekly producer six-pack time with Big O. Four sports questions of any kind and two lifestyle questions. I know what his last question is going to be, and I need y'all's help on this one. Got a very interesting situation coming up this weekend. We'll talk about all that and more next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Thomas tonight.